And it's my absolute pleasure to introduce our moderator this evening for our forum, Mr. Aaron Keck. Aaron, as y'all know, Aaron is not only the man over there at WCHL, he this year, just most recently, was named by the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters as the Radio Personality of the Year. He holds a PhD in political science and is a professor of American government at Durham Tech, and also a 10-year veteran of the local improv and comedy scene, so he's going to keep it funny. Thank you very much, Aaron, for joining us. Aaron Keck, y'all.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks to all of you for being here tonight. Thanks to all the candidates. I am super excited to be here and very honored that you asked me to moderate. I think this is the first forum that I've ever heard of, possibly the first one ever to take place in a bar. So, yay, Hillsborough. This is like the most perfect, like, emblematic thing. I'm so happy that we're here tonight. It's fantastic. So the way this is going to work, we got three candidates. We have 8 questions. We've got about an hour to get through it all. I'm going to go left to right to left to right. I'll call on you. I'll try to keep the order a little bit different to throw you off a bit. Every candidate is going to get 2 minutes to answer each question, and I do have time cards for 30 seconds, and when you are completely out of time and have to stop, and if you continue talking after that, I will start talking into the mic, or whatever, we'll make it work. So every candidate will have 2 minutes to answer each question, and then we will wrap up the forum after that. But thanks to the candidates again, thanks to all the folks at Yonder, and thanks to you for being here. Without any further ado, we will get started, and we've got Anna Linville, Kathleen Ferguson, and Rob English, so we'll go from left to right. So Anna Linville, we'll start with you. Just introduce yourself. Who are you? And if you are elected, what will be your top 3 priorities as a town board member? 2 minutes, starting now.
Thank you, Aaron. And thank you all for coming. Really appreciate you being here and really caring about what happens in Hillsborough. The reason I decided to run for office was that in trying to make last Friday something really different, really special, move it around town so it helps the businesses, and also to increase more diversity of performances, we've had a lot of trouble with the noise ordinance, with events getting shut down at 6 p.m. because neighbors complain. And this is during a public festival, basically. And I did go to board members and didn't find any help there. So it's mainly that challenge that motivated me to start to get involved in politics, because you know my focus is mainly the arts and bringing culture and bringing our communities together. So number one is more support for what we're trying to do with the culture and arts in Hillsborough. Keep Hillsborough arty. Number two, support small businesses, because a lot of this has to do with ordinances that are too restrictive and make it hard for people to do business here. Number three is we need to continue to think about how we develop and build a strategy. I know that you guys are building a strategy, we just don't really know about it yet, for the environment and development, and I'm sure that some of this will be solved in that, but having a more community involvement in deciding how we develop, what we look like in the long run, and going out there and advocating for what we want. Don't just let developers come to us, build the relationships so we get to basically audition the developers we want and get what we want in Hillsborough.
Thank you, Kathleen Ferguson.
All right, well, most of you have known that my passion is affordable housing. But the next 4 years, infrastructure, sustainability. And that is including affordable housing. But we have got $61 million plus of capital expenses we have to address. Water, wastewater, or else we're going to face daily fines, other such pieces. And we have gone past the point where we can't defer much longer. I'm not sure how to get that. So the infrastructure, and that must be done in line with our clean energy resolution. It must be done so with with sustainability in mind. The affordable housing is part of that sustainability. Of course, we need more units, but the other piece is I ran because I believe we need to have board members who reside throughout the community. And the more neighborhoods represented on our board, the better decisions, because what we see is based on where you sit. And I believe that is critically important, and along with the Highway 70 corridor, which is Fairview and that part of town near and dear.
Rob English.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming. Thank you, Eric and Lana, for hosting this. My name's Rob English. I live in Cornwallis Hills. I call it the south side of town. I was appointed about 2 years ago, which has kind of flown by. Not loud enough, thank you. My three main priorities for me are affordability, sustainability, and connectivity. Affordability, as kind of Kathleen mentioned, in finding ways, more ways to that people can afford living in Hillsborough, so they don't get priced out of Hillsborough. It's a challenge, and we're reaching a place where a lot of people can't afford Hillsborough anymore. The whole reason that that my wife Julie and I moved to Hillsborough more than 20 years ago is because we couldn't afford Chapel Hill and Carrboro. So we've been here now, and but if we rewound 20 years, I don't know if we'd be able to afford Hillsborough now. So I'd like to, you know, see more mixed income developments if we choose to do to approve developments in the future. More infill, finding ways to infill and have higher density than we currently have now. Sustainability. Don't have to tell anybody that climate emergency is here, and now the time is to act. So I look forward to our board taking some serious looks at ways that we can mitigate climate emergency. And then the last is connectivity. And connectivity in the ways of continuing to advocate and approve sidewalks and bike infrastructure, but then also finding ways to use our public places to have more public Wi-Fi, hopefully in our parks, and hopefully partnering with the county with some of their property and spaces too. Thank you.
All right. Next question. We'll start with Kathleen Ferguson. I'll start with Kathleen Ferguson. We'll keep going from left to right. Tell us more about your background individually. What experience do you have from your personal life or your business life that will make you a stronger town board member? 2 minutes.
I can turn it down if you need it closer.
Thank you. Well, that will take more than 2 minutes. I have been involved in community service for most of my life, but within Hillsborough since 2004, when I formed Community Watch. And in my neighborhood, and worked in partners with the other community watches, HPD, and the town board at that time. And that's when I started attending the town board meetings. I was on the Highway 70 Corridor Task Force. I was on the Strategic Growth Urban Services Boundary Task Force, served on the Economic Development Commission, was chair for 2 years. Since being elected, I currently am chair of Triangle J Council of Governments, represent the Triangle at the state level. I'm losing a partnership in homelessness. I've served on Solid Waste, Tourism Board, Tourism Development Authority. I'm on the Opioid Task Force for Orange County, the Reentry Council for Orange County, Community Home Trust, have served on that board. Still am on the House Home Collaborative. I'm running, there's more, but that's enough to start off with. But what it brings is a solid understanding of the role of local government, what we can and what we cannot do, and very important, the deep partnerships. And for example, when I had the Speaker of the General Assembly contact me to tell me that yes, our train station is a priority for leadership that would not have occurred without relationships being built.
Rob English.
Thank you. So I've worked for the town of Chapel Hill for 22 plus years as a full-time employee, a few more as a part-time temporary employee. I feel I have a a unique perspective of how town municipal government works from a really an employee's perspective. I've served 2 terms on the Orange County Parks and Recreation Advisory Council, 2 terms on the Hillsborough Parks and Recreation Council group or something, commission, I can't remember what it's called anymore. I have a passion for kind of community engagement and doing things that I can do to help my community better.
And Anna Linville.
So I served in the military for several years, 3 years as an Arabic linguist just after 9/11. So started in 2000 and got out in 2003, right when the Iraq War started. And because of the Iraq War, that's why I decided to leave the military. And then I married Brian, my husband, who's over there. And he's in the Army, and followed him around for the next 20 years, basically. We worked and lived in many, many countries and different places in the United States. We lived in Libya during the revolution, and so I got to see, one of the reasons I think that, Brian's work was more diplomatic as an Army attaché. And so we got to see from the military side what it looks like when government makes poor decisions based on false assumptions. And then from the diplomatic side, which should have been a different, completely different story, we saw the same outcomes because of our, we share the same false assumptions sometimes. And so my experience in government and working as an advocate for the arts and in cultural outreach for the government when I left the military, did some outreach for the embassy and worked in helping with resettling immigrants in Germany during the migration crisis, I got to see how important it is for us to question our basic assumptions about what we think the outcomes are going to be when we make a decision. And I think that a lot of the work that that we need to do as a community, especially in divisive times, is to look at all of the things that we're doing and question our assumptions and make sure we're not going to have unintended consequences.
All right, next question. We'll start with Rob English, continue going from left to right. The town board needs to set goals for the short term and the long term. First, we'll talk short term. What is the most important thing you think you can accomplish during this upcoming term in the next 4 years? 2 minutes.
As Kathleen mentioned, I think we will tackle our water sewer infrastructure needs. We have an old water sewer system, and it needs some help. And so we've already dedicated some ARP funds, for that, and we'll continue to address those needs as they happen. We'll also look at our continued water sewer rates, which everybody knows that lives in Hillsborough and outside of Hillsborough that are on our system are high. So I want to look at explore ways that we can keep those as low as possible. It is an enterprise fund, so we has to whatever we bring in has to pay for those services. So it's a challenge. Continue again bike and ped infrastructure, how we can get people out of their cars and onto bikes and greenways, bikeways, roads and sidewalks safely. Those are the things that I'm gonna focus on and also affordability, as I mentioned.
Anna Linville.
So one of the things that I would like to see is I would like to see the town take a look at some of its regulations on small businesses. Some of the things that we might do to make it easier. We have a lot of empty storefronts, and one of the reasons why they're empty is that we make it difficult for people. We make, we have some requirements, especially in downtown, that I think we could be more flexible on, especially when it comes to historic materials, windows. I think that we are more strict than most historic areas in some ways, and I think we need to have a look at that and make sure that we're not keeping our economic development down because of this, and we're not actually excluding people either, making it too expensive for minorities and other businesses to do business here. So I really see that as a problem. I've heard from many people, businesses, that it's a challenge, and we've seen that with the noise ordinance. I think we don't have to be a nightclub, but we can do a little bit better so that, you know, people are able to do what they want to do and bring the life that we want here. We want to be respectful of our neighbors, and but we also need to make sure that we have a vibrant community. So that's a big priority for me. Developing the 70 corridor, I would like to see much more development over there for Fairview, and I'd like to see more Black businesses. I don't know what I don't know. Kathleen knows a lot more about what we can and can't do, but that would be something that I really care about a lot, and I think we can do better.
And Kathleen Ferguson.
Quick win is funding stream for affordable housing in the next budget cycle. In the next 4 years, absolutely, I see us a bond issue, handling the infrastructure. Our sustainability plan coming out, I would like to see us take our meetings out into the neighborhoods. I would like to see us formalize the streaming that we are now doing because of COVID and keeping that going on. And I would like to see us really look at youth council and affordable housing task force or committee so that we can tap into local expertise and just volunteerism and participating more on the Housing Advisory Collaborative and some of the other countywide initiatives that are already in process.
All right, next question. We talked about the short-term goals. Long-term goals are up next, and we'll start with Anna Linville and reverse the order. So Rob English up after that. What is something that realistically cannot happen in the next 4 years but could be achieved in the next 10 years or so? And how would you start working toward that goal in your next term if elected? Anna Linville.
Well, I think that traffic is something. I mean, I think that we need to work on that. It's going to take a lot more than 4 years to solve our traffic problems. But I think we can rethink how we do traffic in Hillsborough. We can advocate for more traffic circles. We can build some parking garages, I think, downtown. And we can do a lot better with affordable housing. I agree with you on that. I sometimes wonder if we can actually achieve that, because it seems like what happens often is we have units that 30 to 80% of the housing index price, and then after 10 years it goes back to the market value. So I want to see more realistic solutions that actually work, because we've seen building more density doesn't necessarily work. It's Chapel Hill's pretty dense. It's getting more dense, and it's still unaffordable. So how much can you actually accomplish? I want to know that, and I'd like to figure that out. But I think that in the long run, 10 years, I think we can do better with more walkability. I think that's a very realistic thing, and we should focus on getting cars off the road. I agree with you, Rob, on that. So I think that those are realistic goals, and also doing better with how we choose to develop our commercial areas, because we need more. We need more. We need other gathering places in all different parts of town, not just downtown. There need to be many different squares and public areas where people meet and greet, and we build community together.
All right. Next up, Rob English.
Stay on that similar theme. So I think transportation is a big issue for us and always will be. One of the biggest things that came out of their sustainability survey was traffic congestion in downtown, or traffic congestion in general on Churton Street. At our last I think it was our last meeting, but our September workshop, we were fortunate to have Stephanie Trueblood there and talk about our kind of transportation priorities, get feedback from the board of what those should be for the next 5, 10 or more years. And there's three or four major priorities that came out of that. One is a what they're calling the 86 connector, which would be, it would connect old 86 to new 86 via Collins Ridge over a train track, and but it would give us a north-south connector. Wouldn't necessarily alleviate the number of cars coming through downtown Churton, but it would be another option if people didn't need to get to 70 and they could go north and south. It would also be another connection in and out of Collins Ridge. Another one of those priorities was the Churton Street widening project that NCDOT did. So we'll look at that with a feasibility study, and then also a feasibility study for a greenway infrastructure, looking to potentially, again, connect Collins Ridge with Beckett's Ridge with a pedestrian bridge over 85, and then also finding ways that people can get to the new train station to downtown via a tunnel and a couple bridges, but transportation.
And finally, Kathleen Ferguson.
Well, I won't repeat what Rob said, but part of that is because we do have the connectivity plan, which as we have these opportunities, we are dropping in. And the widening of Churton Street will give us the sidewalks there. The connector, 86 connector, we will have sidewalks there. I am very hopeful on the 70 modernization the county is undertaking, because 70 will be widened at some point. We don't know when. It will not be in 10 years, but it laying down that groundwork, and I'm hoping we can have the walkability path that we've identified, our staff has, certainly in the next 10 years, and I'm hoping more soon than that. Also on the Greenway, again, and I would like to see more of the development, and I forgot to say this, so I'm gonna answer part of the last question, part of this, sorry about that, is the development of the existing properties downtown, the old detention center, which is county, the police station when we open up the public service center, because that's prime property for commercial, employment center, retail, arts, affordable housing, and there's plenty of space with the proper planning, and that will require the collaboration. I'll be quiet.
All right. Next question, starting with Kathleen Ferguson, and again going from right to left, so Anna's up after that. Let's talk democracy. As an elected official, you represent the people of Hillsborough and local businesses as well. If elected, what will you do to make sure you're engaged with the community and to provide residents and businesses with the opportunity to share their thoughts with you so you can best represent them? Kathleen Ferguson, 2 minutes.
Well, I will continue what I always do. I'm walking around, I'm talking to people, I am accessible. People know that I respond to emails, I respond to phone calls. I am not on Facebook. I don't do. I am on LinkedIn and I am on Instagram. But mainly it's just talking and being accessible and listening. And I think that is the most important piece.
All right. I'm going to have a follow-up question for the person who went, yes, when you said you weren't on Facebook. I heard you. Don't know who you are, but I heard you. Anna Linville, 2 minutes.
I'm also out and about all the time out here. I'm always out here talking to people. I'm organizing in the community. I'm actively promoting culture and arts in Hillsborough. I'm building community, and I want to be... I talk to people all the time about how we can do that better. Businesses... all kinds of groups in town. We for the first time in last Friday's history, we have really amazing African American artists doing spoken word in Hillsborough and bringing some, you know, we need to bring authentic relationships together. I mean, when you talk about democracy, you can't really have a community if you don't know each other, if you don't have a culture that everybody can see themselves in and believe in and feel is theirs. And we have had more diverse people come to downtown since we started this new model than we ever had before. So it's been really successful, and that's really where my passion and focus is. So I hope to continue that work while I'm also advocating for some of the other long-term plans and changes we need in Hillsborough.
And Rob English.
As I mentioned before, I think community engagement is paramount to what we do. We need to hear from people that live here in Hillsborough and surrounding communities also. Again, I will be out and about and open to phone calls and emails and texts, and we'll sit down and listen to concerns people have and issues. I do think it's important, and Kathleen has mentioned this on multiple occasions before, of us getting into the communities to engage with people in place. It's not always convenient for people to come to a board meeting. They do always have the availability to email us and ask questions via email. I do like the idea potentially of continuing to use a Zoom platform so we can reach more people. I also feel it's important to diversify our advisory boards and even the town board as much as possible, so it represents the people of this community. But I'm open, and I won't always have the answers to solve your problem, but I'm more than willing to sit down and listen and figure out a way that we can get closer to solutions.
All right, next question. We'll start with Rob English and go from right to left. We are going to have, by the way, a little bit of time left over, so if anyone has any questions, get them in mind, and a couple of questions I'll ask if anyone has any for the candidates. Next question, though, as a commissioner representing Hillsborough, how do you approach balancing business interests and residential interests? Rob English, 2 minutes.
We are very fortunate compared to some other municipalities in our county to have a fairly balanced commercial to residential sort of property percentages. I think we're about 60-40. 50-50 is ideal, but I personally feel like we kind of have enough residential housing, even though there's very little inventory. I think we need more affordable and creative ways to bring bring price points down for people to basically live. I think there's a unique opportunity for the Daniel Boone development. There's spaces at Oakdale over on the south side. And also kind of next to Sheets in terms of some commercial space that we have some people that have shown some interest in. But any developments that I would advocate for, again, will be mixed use, will be mixed income developments, because it's important to have that balance of both affordability, but then also commercial space.
Kathleen Ferguson.
And we do have that 60-40 tax split, which is considered to be ideal, and it's going to be a greater challenge. And part of it is that many of the businesses that our residents want that high density, 20 to 60,000 within a 2 to 5 mile radius. That's not here, and it never will be. We do have Mebane, and which is growing extremely fast, and that's their desire. That's by design. Chatham Park, 68,000 approved. Now, and that doesn't even tell us what's in. So we have to look at the long haul. What we do have going for us is the location, and we're located between RTP, Piedmont Triad, where we have those strong clusters, and the logistics, which although many of our residents do not like the logistics, it is an area where those businesses want to site here. And it's balancing that and looking in the long haul of how do you look at some of these businesses that want to come and doing so in a way that fits within a longer term plan for sustainability. One of the fallacies is that you do not choose businesses to come here. You accept businesses that want to come here. And one of the things that we need to do is, even though our incentive policy has never been used because businesses have never asked to use it, we need to look and see how it can be modernized, how it can be optimized to attract more. From a recruitment retention, a small business fund can certainly help, because our strength really is the arts and small businesses. For every dollar of the arts, it's five that come back. Our small business and growth, and making sure we've got product where people can grow into. But in terms of that space for the long-term employment, that is just where we have to make sure that we are communicating and working with Steve Brantley and being visible.
And Anna Linville.
I think it just kind of comes back to making an environment that is hospitable for the small businesses that we want. We don't want to be a community where the only people who can afford to do business here are big chains, you know, especially in some of our storefronts. I think all over town, wherever we develop commercial, wherever we develop commercially, we have to make sure that our policies are not making it hard for startups and small businesses to do their to bring something unique here, and that will help minorities. It'll help everybody to do things, and to keep our community more diverse. It'll also help us with bringing prosperity to communities that have struggled and are struggling to afford to live here. Because when demand is high, you know that, and supply is low, the prices are going to be high. So you have to make sure that people, that we're attracting and making the community welcoming for people of all races and all backgrounds to live here. And we got to try to make it affordable and try to make sure we have a variety of housing here. But definitely need to make sure that people can work near here, and that we have a variety of businesses and things like the hospital that give good jobs to people of all different incomes. Those are great businesses to bring to Hillsboro. And so I think we should really be working hard to advocate and attract and use our incentives to get people here, to get businesses here.
All right, next question. We'll start with Anna Linville and go from left to right. It's a palate cleansing question. Outside of the election, in your regular life, what is one of your favorite stories about living in Hillsboro? Anna Linville, 2 minutes.
Well, I think one
Rob
of my...
Rob English has the advantage on this. You can come up with the best
one. Well, one of my first experiences in Hillsboro was going to Cup of Joe. And standing in front of me in line was Jim Adams, who was wearing a kilt, a utility kilt. And all of these guys were sitting at the tables in the front of the Bill Whitmore and all of that crew, the morning crew at Cup of Joe. And I think this was probably the second week I was here. Bill Whitmore roped me into being the co-chair of the parlor concert committee that day. And it was, since then, I really learned that's how Hillsboro works. Is you sit down, you have a conversation with someone, and the next day you're out there doing things in the community and working hard. So, and that was my big Hillsboro experience.
Kathleen Ferguson.
The quintessential Hillsboro experience is when, it was before I even moved here. I was flown down here. Actually, I made my company fly me down because I wanted to meet them before I accepted their offer. Got down here and did that. And the Midwest, I was in my exile in Iowa, and Midwest and Eastern Seaboard was snowed in. And I was looking at a prospect of spending the night in RDU. I spoke with my sister, who said, "But you met so and so at a Buffett concert. Just call her up and bunk with her." I had met her for 3 minutes, and I thought, "I can't do that." And then I looked at the airport and said, "Yeah, I can." So I called her up and said, "Hi. I don't know if you remember me. We met at a Buffett concert. I was dressed as a parrot, and I'm kind of stuck here at the airport. Do you mind if I hang out tonight with you and leave in the morning?" She said, "Sure, come on over." So I spent the night there. At Christmas, she came in with my sister. My dog and her dog bonded like there was no tomorrow. I've never seen two animals bond that way. And when I chose to select Hillsboro, I wanted a place that tied growth to water, which Hillsboro fit the bill. But the truth is, the dog bonding, I couldn't break up. And so I lived across the street with her, from her to this day.
That's also the best story about being a Jimmy Buffett fan. Rob English, 2 minutes.
Here it is. That's a great question. I can't think of any just one. You know, certainly things, the small community events that Hillsboro Arts Council puts on are great ways to show off all the many special things about our town. You know, I mean, I remember many years ago when our kids were little and Hog Day was a big thing down in River Park. But my my most enjoyable experiences and times is getting outside and walking on Riverwalk and going to Gold Park and Cates Creek Park and really just spending time in our wonderful kind of outdoor areas that lend itself for recreation. And then we're surrounded by El Caniche Mountain and the Speedway and lots of other, you know, opportunities to kind of get out. But anytime you can walk along the river in a small little town is a wonderful time.
All right, we got one more question left, and it's just the final concluding remarks. We'll have a couple minutes for each of the candidates on that. But before we get to that, does anyone have any questions for the candidates? Yeah, come on up. Just a rule, the question has to be directed at all three candidates, not just one in particular. Also, this might be on the radio.
So I've lived here all my life. And in the last few years, I've noticed our community has become less diverse. Our community has become increasingly white. There are increasingly policies such as now a change in waivers that affect the ability for the board to create diversity, opportunity. By eliminating diversity, you reinforce what the HDC has become, in my opinion, is an enforcer of a country club that's run by government. So why would we eliminate that? I'm asking all three of you, why would we eliminate that? The ability to change, the ability to go outside of a policy when it makes sense. What do you have to say about that? And what do you have to say about Addie Clayton's death, Archie Terrell's death, African Americans who lived here for years, middle class, hardworking people? What are we doing to attract other people of different communities than our white community? And how does the board, how would you as a member of the board address each of these policies as they come up with that in mind? That would be my question.
I'm going to give everyone 90 seconds to respond to that, just so we can have time for another question. Rob English, you want to start? And we'll go from right to left.
Honestly, I don't know, Sam, but I'm more than willing to listen again and to dig into that and to find ways. I'm absolutely supportive of finding ways for people to age in place and to stay in their homes that they've lived in for decades and sometimes generations. And diversity, I'm 100% for. I'm a Filipino American. I'm sometimes the only brown person in the room or in the community, outside of, you know, my black and African American.
Outside of
Matt Hughes, you're absolutely right. So I'm all for ways to find ways to continue to diversify Hillsboro and keep, again, our long-term residents here so they can age in place. That's a dream of mine. I recently moved my mom from Florida back to Oregon, a place that she lived and worked for a long time, and that was her wish. But I think we need to continue to work and find ways to keep people here. And diversify our community as much as possible.
Kathleen Ferguson.
Well, what's interesting, according to census data, is that our African-American population has actually risen in our last census, where it had dipped in 2010, and it has come back up. One of the things that I've been doing is working with Habitat, because one of the what has been successful in the Northside neighborhood and Rogers Road neighborhood is mapping the vulnerable properties, working with the community who reach out to their friends and family who want to when they are ready to sell, to buy their homes. And that's really important, because in the end, one of the challenges is our community, they want to sell their homes and realize the wealth gains and the appreciation, and who can blame them? And it's a matter of who's buying, and that's where that community connection's important, and where the mapping is important, because when it's left up to market forces, we know what happens. And the strength of our community with free spirit, freedom, and the dialogue in the community, the Fairview community is strong in that connection, and what really they're hungry for is for the community to go into Fairview and not waiting for Fairview to come into the community. And so that's something where we all can play a role there.
I really am addressing downtown, not Fairview, like Union Street and North. It's in the Historic District Commission's jurisdiction.
In HDC, as you know, HDC is outside of, yes.
I've been here, I've lived here all of my life.
You are correct.
A man who's 84 said to me not long ago, you see what's happening to this community. Not, I'm not talking about some community outside the historic district. I'm talking about in what is the historic district's now expanded purview.
Well, thank you for the clarification. As you know, the HDC has nothing to do with the town. The rules and regs of HDC, all of those requirements are governed by Department of Interior and legislation that is separate in the town, and we have no say over that. Legislative, we have no authority. So that is the HDC, that is a community-driven and working within the confines of that construct. And there are challenges when there are historic districts. If you look at the data where you have them, you do find a lot of gentrification. I don't have an easy answer for that, frankly. I wish I did. The best is the same tools of that mapping and reaching out and having people when they want to sell to friends, family, those, and wanting to buy into that and being competitive with that purchase. But there is no, if we had that easy answer, I would not need to work.
I want to give Anna Linville a chance to respond.
So Archie Terrell is one of my neighbors. I live on the corner of Union and Wake, and we lost several neighbors, black neighbors, this year. And their kids they're very successful, live in other communities, and decided to sell their homes, and they're being purchased by white families. And one reason I think that is, you know, I want to see how we can keep families here by making the culture feel welcoming. And by also, I think there's more we can do with the HDC. I disagree that there's nothing we can do. Some of the functions of the HDC can be possibly transferred to from volunteers who are often driven by, they aren't necessarily educated in all of the policy and equity things that need to be, that people need to know about to do good work that doesn't end up having an adverse effect on the community by making it difficult, for example, to change windows. You know, so we have all these very expensive requirements for people in homes that are not necessarily historically contributing to, you know, the overall sense of historicity in Hillsborough. So it's not a necessarily colonial home. It's a home built in the 1950s or 60s. And it's so ridiculously expensive to change a window or renovate the building that people either let it fall into disrepair or just say, screw it, I'm leaving because it's too much of a pain in the butt to do anything in here. We can do something about that. The commission itself is in charge of creating the rules that people have to follow. So I think that there are a lot of things we can do by changing how much power the volunteer board has to make certain decisions. I think it's a lot to ask of people who are volunteers to make those kinds of decisions for other members of the community. And so the same problems we have with businesses not feeling supported, I think that a lot of people who've been here a long time, have lower incomes, don't have the time or the money to have scaled designs drawn or go before the HTC 3 or 4 times. I think we can do better than that, and I think we need to be more creative and maybe more brave in standing up against some of the some people who really don't want to see, who want that control over what everybody does.
This is an important question. I'd let Kathleen and Anna run a little bit longer. Rob, do you want to have another minute to say more? All right. Anyone have any other questions? We'll give right here. Come on up. We'll give the candidates 1 minute each to respond to this.
Hi, I am a small business owner who just moved here from Durham 2 years ago. My business is still in Durham. So I heard a lot of talk about bringing and keeping small businesses here. I'd be curious if each of you would address like one concrete thing that you would do that would encourage businesses, specifically small businesses, to move here to Hillsboro.
Kathleen, Anna, and Rob, 60 seconds.
I'm still advocating for a microloan and loan grant program for small businesses that encourage small business in both the cottage industry, local, that can help. We are the only jurisdiction that does not have a recruitment retention fund of any sort. And I still think we need to do some tweaking with our incentives. Our incentives do give some various and sundry breaks. I am not clear whether or not they are best for our small businesses. Our businesses have given feedback that they're okay. I don't believe it.
Anna Linville.
I think making it less difficult to renovate a building. I think making sure that when we do have a regulation, I know we have some that we need, like we're trying to protect our water system with grease traps and things, but maybe sometimes we can look at exactly how restrictive we are in some of our regulations, things that are keeping businesses closed for a year or more. We're making renovations really, really difficult. I think that's an important way to, you know, we're not putting a burden on taxpayers to pay for new businesses coming in, but we're making it easier for businesses to come in here and do what they need to do. I do think that you can do some things for building owners. You know, we do some public-private partnerships like we did with the Colonial Inn to renovate that. I think those are great for historic buildings and make it less expensive for the right small businesses to be able to do that rather than having big chains come in here and because they can afford to do what they want. And if we make it hard, we won't be able to get what we want. So.
And Rob English.
Thank you for bringing your business here. We need to find ways to continue to encourage small businesses in Hillsboro. It's kind of our bread and butter. I think we can do a better job of working with the chamber and getting the chamber to support those small businesses in various ways. I think, you know, small example may be to have some sort of sticker or emblem on those businesses that are chamber members. I think we need to find ways for businesses to want to be a part of the chamber, because I've spoken with several that that feel like the chamber's not necessarily worthwhile for them to be a membership of, and so I'd like to find out ways that that we can get them more involved and also support the chamber.
All right, there may be time for more questions after the forum. I think I'm not going to volunteer the candidates' time, but they may be willing to stick around and talk to people who have additional questions. We'll wrap up the forum, the official forum, with one final question. 2 minutes on this. We'll start with Anna Linville, go to Kathleen Ferguson, and then Rob English. You'll have the last word. Sum us up. Why should people vote for you in 2 minutes?
I think that I'm bringing a lot of energy and creativity to the board, that out of the box thinking and a vision for what we can be. I'm not if I can't find a way through something, I will talk to people who can help vision a way through. Because we need to know that we do have some control over how we develop. And I think we can do better. So I would vote for me because I'm a creative person. I'm devoting all of my time and energy to making Hillsborough a creative, vibrant community. And I will be out there advocating for what we want as a community for our future.
Kathleen Ferguson.
The role on the town board is one of policy, connections, communication, advocacy. It's a role that I am blessed to have served for 8 years. I will continue and still believe being in the community, of the community, outside of the historic district, in the north side of town, is a very important voice for the board. The relationships across the county, across the town, across the nonprofits, across the region, across the state, that help us as a town achieve our goals. And it helps keep some of the other regional pressures off of us. But most important, why you can trust me, I care, I'm accessible, and I love to serve, I want to serve, and I ask to serve.
And Rob English.
So I was appointed to the board almost 2 years ago, and spent these last 2 years kind of really figuring out what, you know, how town board stuff works, getting to know my colleagues on the board. I feel very good about what we've accomplished in the last 2 years, and I'm optimistic of what we can continue to work on and accomplish in the next 4 years. Excited about our comprehensive sustainability plan that's coming out next year. Hope to adopt that and implement that, and that'll guide our future growth and development decisions for the next 20 to 30 years. So I guess if you're happy with Hillsborough's town board decisions from the last 2 years and more, you want more sidewalks and bike paths, and you want environmental protection, then vote for me.
And that concludes our forum. Let's thank our candidates again: Anna Linville, Kathleen Ferguson, and Rob English. Keep the applause going for Eric and Lana and Yonder for hosting us tonight. Most of you already know this, but Election Day is coming up soon, Tuesday, November 2nd. Early voting is ongoing right now. Closest early voting location to here is Orange Works at Hillsborough Commons. That's down the road on Mayo Street. If you happen to find yourself in Chapel Hill, Carborough, Seymour Center on Homestead Road, Chapel of the Cross on East Franklin Street, and Carborough Town Hall are your other early voting sites. And just a plug for us at 97.9 The Hill in WCHL. Thank you so much. We are your election night headquarters, so tune in for all the returns as they come in after 7:30, and head to our website, chapelborough.com. We've got information on all of the candidates, including the three you see before you. We've got introductions to all of them. We've got questionnaires that they had to fill out. I think they had to fill out 364, if I remember right. We also have information on endorsements, so you can get all the information that you need to make an informed decision when you go to the polls. Thank you all so much. Go vote. Good night.
Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody